fireworks this morning at the Mexico? All right, well, I seen the fire truck go that way, though, when it was over in Mexico. I seen flashing bright lights at the school. So I don't know. Maybe they had another bomb. So they had one at ATW for that week.
They had
playing a game or something, you know? Yeah, so it's not so. Yeah. Have a Christmas party or something out here. Oh, that'd be nice. Wouldn't it be a Christmas tree right there by the window? All kinds of stuff going
on. Did the building inspector look at the floor?
Yeah, we talked about that.
What's he suggesting? You gotta do something.
I know, and I wrote down what it says.
Okay.
We can have him come down and take a look. He's pretty busy.
Yeah.
Hello there. Come on in. Let's try to merge it. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Don't go. No, let her go there, Fred. Yes, that right. Come in. Don't go by that. Just come straight, turn and come. Yeah. Yes, because there's a drop off.
Yeah,
there's
a drop off.
I have a sign-in sheet and some lots of paper.
Oh, boy,
this is a slippery
floor,
guys.
Be careful.
What happened?
Yeah, exactly.
It is slippery.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good, thank you.
How are you doing, Bob?
Good to see you, Fred. I think about every time you attend the parish planning board meeting.
Yeah, how many years ago today?
Yes.
Yeah. They're still hanging in there. That's good.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Jennifer Harville. I'm with the Tugel Commission. I think I signed you both in already. Bring this over to Fred. Do I need to get
I know what he has. Gotta be some kind of monster, right?
Just a
jar.
You're
in charge of crossing the road.
That's Fred. That's Fred. Got toy.
This is Fred. Oh. This morning I was walking a little bit over the guy. There's a cat. And I was getting ready to knock the liquid light out. Because I know that the man that owns the cat on these
things. Hey, how you doing?
Fred, how are you?
Good.
Then you showed the picture of us. Oh, go ahead.
I have a sign-in sheet and then four handbags.
Or I don't think
If you want to leave an email, that's great too. I have email for most everybody also. So you work with okay.
Can you bring that folder in, huh?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay. Well, he closed it, and he's got a Sharpie in his seat. The Sharpie knocks another bottle of water out. And he picked up his stuff and he's beating the stuff or the shelf with it. So then he chose the cat and put another bottle back out of the table.
Oh, my goodness. My husband, I don't want to kill the other day. I'm staying home.
Oh, okay.
Well, a year and a half. Oh, okay. Yeah. Don't feel retired, but I am.
All right.
Did you lift in the church? I have a sign in sheet, and there's goodies up here from the mayor, and some handouts.
So the guys that we signed in the chair and had one also.
He was a grandpa.
Oh, all right. Okay, now my turn.
For me?
Yeah. I got it. I always just need the rest of the
week. Okay. Should I give him up?
Yeah.
Hello. Did you get all these handouts?
I think I printed them out probably via email.
Okay. Here's this. This is an agenda that's
okay
today. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I can save that for another person.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Oh, I can take it for you. Was there somebody else out front? Did I hear? I have a sign in sheet and some handouts.
I already signed it.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, but just papers.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
He's home.
It's not good for him to be in this building. He's there.
Ah, okay. All right.
She's a long man.
Paul, you're all set on Zoom?
We're all set. Stephanie's up and going, and the only other person in the crowd is David.
Okay. Great, thank you. For those of you that don't know, I'm Jennifer Harwell. I'm the projects director at the Tug Hill Commission. So nice to see you again. It's been about 2 months. Can you technically it's been 2 months since we met at the end of July. I have an agenda in front of you. The first thing I'd like to do is just introductions again. So if we can just go around the room. So I know everybody and you all probably know each other, but this is great.
I'll start. I'm Jim Burness, the town supervisor.
Okay. Jeanette Haynes.
Steve Morning, the Historical Society member.
As first member of the Parish Society.
Richard Sword, historian.
Evelyn Stoneshut, Parish Town Historical President.
Sandy Bench, treasurer of the Parish Town Historical Society.
Nancy Borman, member of the Historical Society.
Kim Perkins, who's historian clerk.
Janet Perkins, member of the Historical Society.
Jackie Murphy, Mayor of Willoughby Parish.
And Paul Baxter, I'm with the New York State Tug Hill Commission, and I serve the Salmon River Council of Governments, the Parish Town Bill Dribble, and as well.
And Katie Malinowski, she's on Zoom.
So. Yeah, okay. Katie's on Zoom.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Okay. So the first item on the agenda that I have, introductions and then notes from our meeting on July 24th. Two pages basically of what we discussed at that first meeting. And on the very back page, there was the to-do list. So that was the impetus or how we made the agenda today was to follow up on all the to-dos. So if you have a minute, I'll give you a minute to look these over. If there's any inaccuracies or things that should be added, things I missed, please let me know and I'll get that corrected. If there's nothing on the notes or things that we talked about, you can always email me or call me to make any corrections on our notes from July. So moving on our agenda. So one of the things we had to do, Jackie, was talk about this building. And I think you said just recently, the lights were pretty good. So can you talk a little bit about the National Grid audit?
Okay, so we decided we would go along with it. And then on my side, I would pay for the village portion of this, but I do not want anyone from the village going to further this building. The village just spent them on. And then I also talked to another gentleman, and he said, if in fact the bank was turned over to the Historical Society, he would cover that cost. And I think National Grid covered 28,000 of it, and the village had to pay 1,200 of it. 2,800 was National Grid's portion of it, and the village had to come up with the $1,200. And then that will come out of the National Grid bill, I think, about a month from now.
So the cost of the audit itself was 4,000?
Well, of everything, yeah.
Of everything.
So it was 3,800.
Okay.
May I ask what this entails exactly?
Yeah, all the bright lights, all new lights here. There's lights in all the other rooms. They're all LEDs. And they replaced the sodium lights. There was 4 sodium lights outside. And they're a big energy wall. I am positive the electrical we have now with these new lights. Definitely it was needed. And look how bright it is. Nice. Very nice. I'm very impressed. He came on Thursday and started, and they finished up yesterday with the outside lights.
Did they look at the furnace and the heating system, or is it just
no? Because that is not electrical.
It's not electrical.
So Jackie, did you just say that they've already done the work?
Oh, yeah, we're done. We're finished. Yep.
Wow, that was fast.
Yep. So it was just the lights then.
Yeah, the lights.
And you said the $1,200 was just going to be from the savings? Is that what?
Someone else was going to cover the cost of it.
Someone else?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That's good. I mean, it's nice and bright here.
Okay. Yeah, it is very nice. And I want to drive down at night sometimes, you know, it looks outside. That's a big deal, the sodium lights outside.
That's good. Thank you for that. And then most of our discussion would be around, well, first, I'm gonna jump around on my agenda here. One of the questions that we had leaving the last meeting was whether or not the town and the village really could contribute to the cost of the Historical Society being here. And I know you talked to Laird.
Yeah, I did.
So if you want to go ahead and talk to the group about that.
Right. I spoke with Laird, wondering how I can place this into my budget, as we currently have nothing other than the historian, you know, her personal services, her salary and her clerk salary, as well as very small amounts for her contractual items. So I spoke with Laird, and Laird basically told me that we could do it. I would just have to put it in kind of as rent, and I would put that in my contractual line. So if the historian had an office here, we could pay rent to the village. So that is how we would contribute. We would still office, you know, we'd have the historian here, and we could move forward that way, and we can prove to our taxpayers that this is what we're doing with their money, and we're putting some this way. So it's just a matter of how much and if my board will go with it or not.
And that was going to be my question. I didn't mean to interrupt it.
Yep.
So what is your stance and your board's stance?
I currently don't know what my stance is with the board.
Okay.
We haven't had any budget discussions. I'm working on my tentative budget.
All right.
I've included it in my budget, but as to how much, according to what I saw, one thing said $1,000, and in the other page it said $1,500.
Yeah.
So I don't know which one that what you're looking for, but also include, just so you understand where we are, you have to now buy furniture for.
All
right. Well, according to this, it says that, you know, it says that agreed that we would, you know, do what is necessary as far as furniture, okay, shelves.
It's all been discussed and taken care of.
But I can throw that in my budget as well.
I was just saying that I did hear that the one board member asked how we were doing, so I just wondered, had there been discussion about it?
Not really, because I couldn't go back with anything other than to say that we had a meeting. We're looking into it,
okay,
but I can't go back, you know, and all this is happening this week. My budget is due at the end of the week.
I have a question.
But I've included it.
Is the 1,000 or 1,500, that was that for the whole year?
That was my assumption. According to the annual expenses and according to revenues, I mean, most revenues are based on per year. And it says town and parish annual expenses, so $1,500 on this one page and $1,000 on the other one.
I have a question before we get too far. Furniture taken care of, meaning furniture for the Historical Society, like desks and tables and all that, taken care of by the village or? Okay. Like a donation.
Yes.
I have another question. I know, like around 10 years ago, the library was included with the town budget, and it was with the idea there was a certain amount of the year. I think it was, I don't remember the amount, but the idea was it was the library was important to the town. The library didn't have a good base for, you know, getting enough money, so it was put in the library. We had a certain amount because of, you know, some service to the community. And in a sense, we make like a business service of the community to anybody, if it, if couldn't work like this, but anybody that wants to find out more about the history of the town or do genealogy or something, they can come here. And so I don't know, it's something maybe that could be looked into to see if it could be done, but it's a budget item to help.
It absolutely can be done, and what we learned and what we have in our, we have a gift, a municipal fundraising, a gift in paper, and there's opinions out there. The town, the village, the municipality can contribute to the historical society as long as there's a contract and an agreement in place. It doesn't have to be just for a cash exchange. It can be, like you're saying, for services. So it's absolutely doable.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely.
Yeah, I have a question. Maybe I misunderstood. You said that if indeed this is accepted, it would be used as rent to the village. But if we are going to be the caretakers and the owners of this building, or maybe I just misunderstood what you said.
Right, and maybe I was wrong in saying that as well. I just have to have somebody to send a check to.
Right.
And the village owns the building, so I assumed that the village would receive that money because they own the building. And they're leasing it to you or whatever agreement the Historical Society has with the village. I just have to give the check to somebody. And I, like I said, I assumed it was the village because they owned it. I don't think they're transferring over ownership. So.
Well, that was what we were planning on, if it works out after 6 months. That's what.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think that was for 8 months like that. Only because people are mad that we just spent a lot of money on this.
Okay. So let's follow up on that, how that
right.
An MOU would look, right?
Right.
Between either you and the village or you and the Historical Society or all the
both.
So
yes.
Or
all.
That. So I think we can go ahead. Okay. One of the things, let's look at the draft budget, because I think that will help us inform, if we get some of these details, maybe we can then go into the memorandum of understanding and look at that. So I just want to go through this and see, some of these numbers are provided from Sandy,
mm-hmm.
right from her, for her expenses. Did these look accurate? Did these look like what we would be looking for annual expenses for the Historical Society? $1,000 in electricity, $1,000 for heating oil, $800 for sewage. How do these numbers look?
The propane, I've spoken to two different companies, and depending, of course, upon how much we use, it could be $2,200 a year. But we don't know that. That's probably a high, well, that's what the village had paid to the company in Camden who has been providing the propane here.
And that's not occupied, right? So that's keeping
right.
it at probably in the high 50s or 60s. Mm-hmm. And then
the other question is, I don't know what type of a furnace is here, but if we had maybe a thermostat that was more economically friendly, I don't know how much that would cost to install, but in the long run, it might make more sense. It might
I believe this one's here. I'm going to interrupt you, Sandy. I think this is already a brand new thermostat.
Okay, but is it a new one, or?
I'd say within the past 5 years. Oh, you don't remember when they put this down there?
No, that's because they put it in that new furnace, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah.
So. Well, there's a thermostats that you can control remotely by your
yeah.
phone
yeah.
or whatever computer, which is that might be what, I don't know if that's what Sandy's talking about.
No, I didn't even have in mind about remote. I was just thinking, every year it seems like thermostats are upgraded to save
mm-hmm.
to become more efficient, and that's what I was looking for, was a more efficient thermostat. I don't know, that's probably connected to the air conditioning as well. Anybody?
Oh, no.
Nope. So maybe that would be something that we could look into in the future to save more money.
Okay, so up to $2,200 a year could be the propane bill. And that's it, is maybe that's assuming that the Historical Society is here 8 months a year.
Well, that's
why
I asked about the remote
thing,
because, you know, like my son has that in his house and he can control that. You know, if we have an unusual cold spell, you can maybe tweak it a bit, you know, depending on what's going on, but you control what's going on. So if somebody forgets to turn it down, so that's what I'm saying. That's what this does for it.
If you have a programmable thermostat, it automatically goes down. If you have a programmable one, it automatically goes down.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what this is. Oh, I'm saying.
Sewer, I had at 800.
That's correct.
Okay. I don't know if the Historical Society was planning on internet.
Talked to a couple of different providers, and it may not be, that's probably in the ballpark, although it could be higher. So maybe we should say 1500 instead of 750.
You pay 900 there. We pay $900 a year just for internet.
Okay.
For division.
Okay, that's what ours is about, $950 a year.
So why don't we call it $1,000?
Yeah, at least.
You mentioned content insurance too at one point.
Sorry?
Content insurance, that would be something you'd have to protect your collection.
Right.
Right?
And Nancy has worked for insurance companies for many years, so she's the expert.
The building, if we come to own the building, that's a whole different type of policy, obviously, because a tenant's policy is one thing,
okay.
A whole ownership is another. I don't know, Jackie, are you just covered right now just for the building and not content? Or what does it run?
Then do you have that?
I had 1440.
Yes, but Evelyn has talked to Cynthia. Did she ever get back to you about the price for occupancy?
Was that quote you get at the meeting is just for tenants?
It's just right.
It's no building coverage.
It's just for the 1440 that you gave me is just for the empty building.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. But they would develop a different type of policy with occupancy.
Right.
Because empty buildings carry different implications for liability and everything. So.
And Evelyn has been in touch with Cynthia, whether she got back to you with a price, I don't know.
Well, at least we have a good jumping off point, though, the 1500.
Right.
For that was just for content, right?
No, the 15 was just for building.
Liability.
So we could be between, I would say, 18.
So 1800 to 2000 covers contents and the occupancy.
Right.
Okay.
Liability. Right.
Okay. Thank you. The charter renewal, I think, was 60 or 75. Evelyn, I know you said you've been in contact with them and they're not getting back to you. So let's come back to that. We can talk about that in a second. Kill box rental, was that $75?
It's 70. I just paid in August and that was an increase. 70, not 75.
Probably not needing a landline, I'm assuming, or do we need a landline?
The landline would be with the internet.
Okay, all right, cool. Oh, and then supplies, you know, these were just things that we talked about with Sandy, things to think about, cleaning supplies, office supplies. I don't know if those are fair numbers, if you want to leave them or take them out for now, I don't.
I think we're going to see more than that for both, because we're starting from scratch, so we'll need mops, buckets, sanitizing stuff, cleansing stuff, office supplies of all kinds. So I'd say we do higher than that.
Do you want to make the meters 250?
Yeah, I think that actually that's what I
think. So, okay.
Yeah.
And then again, on the equipment side, I didn't know if the Historical Society already had like a laptop.
No, we don't.
And I wondered about, you said the furniture was taken care of. That includes the fax machine or?
Sorry?
Would you want a fax machine / copier?
The copiers come with a fax machine as part of it. Yes, we will. I think we should. And that's the money.
I'm not all about printing the books.
I think the printers come so you can
roll. Right, because that's what they roll together.
And I don't know what they cost. Maybe it's out. I don't know.
And you know, it might just be someone from out of town who prefer to send a fax than snail mail.
The fax comes from something.
I was going to say 300. Yeah. That's what mine is. Actually, keeping the
library,
keeping it stocked at the
Okay, so we have tough budding. And then somebody mentioned a Ring camera. I don't know how much they are, $100.
What is it?
A camera for here, the front security.
Yeah, I've looked at different, and it's around $100.
Okay.
But does it come with a subscription? That's the next question.
I have not put that on. Or the installation. So.
Yeah, because there's battery, there's starting wire.
Right.
I'm going to do some quick math here. $1,000 for electricity, okay. Up to $2,200 for propane. Talking about $2,000 for insurance, $800 for sewer, $1,000 for internet, $75 for the chargers, $2,000. $500 for supplies, $1,000 for a laptop, $300 copier, $100 in security. That gives us just over $9,045. If there's, do we want to just round that to $10,000 for the first? Okay. Let's make an educated guess at $10,000 for the first year. Oh, that's just the cost for the Historical Society to operate and run their business. I apologize that I have the numbers back, you know, two different numbers on.
Okay.
So either one could work. I'm looking at the village expenses. So we built sort of the draft starting off point discussion on a period of a year, and I heard you say 6 months.
Well, I thought that we were just gonna try it.
Okay, well, I think so too. I think it's I think there's pros and cons to both. I think that you get a better sense of what the Historical Society can do if you give it a year. So that way your buildings occupied and unoccupied, there's people in and out, and then there's a period of time when there aren't people, so you get a better sense of what the numbers look like.
This is not
you guys with your agreement, but that's where my thinking was in doing that. So giving it a year from the time you sign.
Okay.
And obviously no one's signing anything until lawyers and people. Let's look at
my board numbers.
And your board members, right. So
I was looking at this village in the parish. There is no garbage pickup upstairs.
Okay.
I just didn't want to know where it's
at. Okay. So you can, I put the insurance back onto the historical site and make that zero. Snow removal, is there a cost there? Or?
I figured about $300 because if it's like 5 months, if they have to plow, I think the general charge for plowing is between $20 and $30 a time. That's something we have to put out to bid. Because
but if we're closed in the winter, we need them to plow.
So I could the village provide that.
That's a liability if it's property only by us.
So we have to shovel. I think that's
well,
the plan.
That is a, you have to keep the sidewalk clean,
yes.
Right?
Well,
and
very few sidewalks are clean. There, none of these sidewalks are clean.
Well,
no one in the village cleans their sidewalk that I know of. And actually, here you can pull. You're right out in a plowed road. You're on a state route 69, so that comes right up close. But I live three houses down. And I know we don't shovel our sidewalk.
Yeah,
and I'm the only people that shovel their sidewalks in the funeral home. And often they do not, Ben does not, get out there. I mean, unless there's something like a funeral going on, calling hours, but the last few winters haven't been that bad. So if we weren't here that much, I don't know.
The village never shovel these, did they?
No.
So if we should happen to decide that we are going to do a few days during the winter, we're saying we don't have to shovel and we don't have to plow. I don't think that would
work
with the insurance. We're either going to have to say, hey, absolutely nobody can come in this building from then till then. I don't know. With liability, are people going to be wandering up the ramp towards the window while breaking arm? I don't know. I know that's pretty exaggerated, but in today's world, everything's going
yes, yes.
I agree.
So 300 is what was the number you said?
Yes.
And that would fall on the Historical Society then?
Yes. Sorry?
It would fall on the Historical Society?
Oh, yes.
I put lawn maintenance, but I don't know if there is any lawn.
Yeah,
there is.
$300 the same for that. But no,
they were paying $35. He just comes once a month.
Spruce
it up.
So you talked about the AC. The AC unit needs. Somebody said the AC unit might need to be looked at.
Yeah, I think so. Someone said it. I don't know who told me it didn't work.
And I actually called the Precision Plumbing after our last meeting, and I've still not heard back from Harry. I told him exactly what I needed to know, so perhaps I should call him again and maybe get a bid from another.
I think that's probably a good idea.
Air conditioning person.
Is that something the village would cover then in this case? I don't know. I guess my concern is if after a year this doesn't quite work out, does it then is it weird that the Historical Society have, I don't know.
That's
I
what we need. That was a question I had for later as well.
Yeah. Should we put a pin in that for now?
Yes.
Okay.
So I will call on him again and I will call.
You did all the work downstairs.
I see, I knew that. That's right. I figured he could just call me back and
good.
Say.
Yeah.
But he has not called back. It's been almost a month.
Okay.
So I'll call him again.
Okay. I'm wrong once I
haven't. Oh, okay.
We're going to have the same questions then about the building and the maintenance. Something happens to the roof, something happens to the furnace.
Yep.
How does that get covered? I hear you saying no more expense to the village, but then I also know that the village for a period of time still owns the building.
Yeah,
so some questions there.
Yes, we need to be talking to other people and finding out what the heck is going on with this. I really do not want to put $40,000 into this already.
that will have to go down.
The garbage pickup, it, Jackie, did you say that there's no charge?
No charge. Okay. We're going to get a quote on the AC unit and cleaning the furnace. You talked about a gate. That gate, I see what you're saying about the gate for those stairs. Okay. So it could very well be that this $10,000 is a bit more.
Right. Did you speak about lawn maintenance? Did I use it?
Yes, she did. Yeah, 300.
Yeah.
And what would they entail? Just this little.
Yeah, I thought that there were some weeds out back.
And the propane tank is all covered over with weeds and stuff. That's all got to be cleaned, but it also have to be maintained. The air conditioner is out there. You know, we can't have weeds hanging around that if it works, and you know. That would not be an efficient way to run an air conditioner.
I have not been out to see how much propane in that tank.
It's 75%.
Oh, okay.
So they, and if we didn't go with a Camden one, and if they came and took it out, they would reimburse the village whatever is left in there.
I have another question. Mm-hmm. Currently, the village owns this property, so we're not paying tax, you know, taxes on it. When the Historical Society takes it over, that property will now become taxable, correct?
What? Are we talking about? Because yeah. I think we're talking about two different things. I envision property the village taxes. Still owning it for that trial period.
Right, for the trial period. And
afterwards, right. How that looks, it would definitely, well, but you're nonprofit. They're a nonprofit. They have to have a nonprofit status.
And that's why I wasn't sure how it would work. Are they exempt from, you know, you still have to pay fire tax, you know.
And fees like sewer.
Yeah, water. You're still going to have to pay some of those items. Which right now, the village owns it. You're not paying those. It's maybe something for thought, and you guys continue to try to run this building on your own. After that first
very
year,
point.
You know,
what does the 501c3 exempt you from?
Right.
The same with the school tax.
Right. All of a sudden, now it's a taxable piece of property.
Right.
Okay. So there's a little more money than we're thinking about on that side. Well, let's take a walk through the draft agreement and see how this looks anyway, and see if we can get any more on paper as far as a structure of how it could look. So, again, very draft, just a starting point. The very first page, most of these came right from the Historical Society's charter. So if we go for the first, second, third, fourth.
So on the other towns that other historical societies that the town supports, does the town own their buildings, or how does that work? Does anyone know?
There's hodgepodge. We're still looking through that. I do have a little bit of info, but the one we're really trying to understand better is the town of Williamstown, who is very similar to this. The supervisor there has had some medical issues, so we haven't been able to We have done a little research looking at the other surroundings, and a lot of them aren't quite fitting this mold.
Okay, all right.
Give us a little more time. Hopefully we can get in touch with Chip up in Williamstown and see where they're at.
All right. Okay.
So if we go down to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe the seventh bullet, that's where we started adding some different assumptions, right? The town, the Historical Society doesn't currently have a publicly accessible base of operations. The town wishes to provide dedicated space for their historian and records for conducting business. that the Key Bank building, not occupied, was donated to the village for to use for the benefit of the community. It continued to be owned by the village for a 1-year trial period. Does that still sound decent? Okay, good. So the intent of the trial period is to determine if the Historical Society can effectively manage the day-to-day finances required to occupy the building. We go on to the second page, and we just make the assumption that the greater parish community would definitely benefit from the services provided in this building. And then we get into the agreed statements that everybody supports the above. That everybody agrees to support the use of the space by the Historical Society to provide access to the records and artifacts. That the entities will further coordinate and evaluate this agreement in 1 year, effective once all the parties have signed the agreement, so a year from when it's executed. Sandy?
Sorry.
Oh, I thought maybe you had something. Okay, good.
I've got something in my head.
Okay. That the entities will discuss and evaluate at the end of the trial period the ability of the Historical Society to provide rental payments to the village. But what we're saying is, more than rent, we want them to just take over ownership. Would there be rent-to-own payments? Would there be a payment?
I don't know if you look at that. But I was thinking, too, if the town's going to offer $1,500, we could use that to pay for the insurance. I'm just trying to think of how the best way to present this to the village.
Well, let's get a little bit. The Historical Society is going to renew its charter through New York State Ed. I know you're trying. I know that you're reaching out to Lauren. If we can be of any assistance in that, let us know. The next bullet just outlines the day-to-day operating costs, including but not limited to all the things we just talked about. That the Historical Society will maintain regular hours. You know, post the hours that they'll be open and the time frame they'll be open. And that the village will retain ownership of the building. I guess that we have to talk about that one a little more. Ownership of the building and like during the 1 year trial period, what is covered? And you're saying you'd rather it be nothing, right? That you'd rather have that be.
I know that Sandy had discussed that, you know, she wanted a trial period also.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's something that, you know, we should do and we should discuss further with some other options.
Okay.
Well, I think you kind of discussed it, and this is just a personal thing here, is the fact that I think 100 years ago stuff was donated to the village and to the library. Then all of a sudden people take it personally, and all of a sudden someone will say, well, that money is supposed to go to a library, and the other person says, well, I'll make damn sure that the library never touches that money. I don't want to see that with this. I don't like that.
No.
I mean, come on. So I want to make sure this is open and honest for everybody to see. Where somebody 20 years from now can't come and say, well, da, 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 no, because it's all in black and white. That's what I want.
Yeah, for sure. And then that last bullet, I changed that $1,000 to $1,500 annually. That the town will contribute $1,500 annually to the Historical Society, and that the town, again, we'll have to look into that if it's to the Historical Society or to the town.
Like I said, if we do hold on to that, then that would be a way for us to pay for the insurance. Put in any more funding service.
Are you okay with that last bullet being 1500 plus, you know, furniture, or is the furniture being donated to the Historical Society available for the town historian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we're talking office space. And so I would like the town historian to have her own desk.
It's right over in that office, or it will be in that office.
Right, but so, I mean, I can put it into my budget in the contingency line enough to buy, you know, Bridget a new desk and a new chair that would travel with us in case this doesn't work. I could use it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that way, it would just stay. It would be town property, anything to do with the town historian. And I can put that into my budget. As well as, you know, maybe some shelves. I can, you know, I can see what I can come up with as far as the money to put into her contingency line to cover those costs for this year. And then it will be, you know.
That goes back to you.
Then if this falls apart, mm-hmm. then we would, the town would acquire the furniture back. So it would separate any, you know, messes that we may have.
And that would only be a one-time charge for the town.
Correct.
And like you said, just take it away.
I would probably put that in a different bullet once I.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, because she'll have her own, because right now she has her own contingency line for like paper and stuff like that. I'm sure she'd use more when she's in here, but, or Kim will. Right, and you don't have an office, so this would give you an office. Right, and so this would give her somewhere to actually go, and I think it'd be a benefit to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So I can put those amount of, I think I can cover some of that.
A lot of the employees that, through the years, that didn't have offices, had a home, used their home, and then they reimbursed them for their
right.
home. And their, you know, they paid a portion maybe of their home, you know, for a lot of people. The judges used to be in the home.
Right, everybody was in the home. The clerk was in the home back then, too.
You know, for the, well, I think it's over 30 years, 34 years I've been a historian, and I've never charged, you know, anything, and I actually never had a salary until Steve Selmstrup became supervisor. I know they always said it was great to hear my report because it didn't cost them a penny. And you can look at that both ways, you know, but I always use my own paper and everything, you know, my own copy. And, plus, it's not a big expense, but I do have a budget now that I have for equipment, paper, I mean, for, you know, paper and printing and things that we do. We do a lot by email, too. Kim does. How many people put something on every evening? A picture or something. There's people right here that usually guess. Yes, we have some people right here that guess the things.
We do trivia.
How many?
I've seen that. People. 2,000 some people.
Yeah, average. Come on.
Yeah, or something. I don't know. Checking it nightly.
So the interest is there.
Sure.
And a lot of people like to come here to see things, and they want to go and see where their family lived. It's not that we couldn't store it someplace else and we could do something, but they come, they want to see what Parrish looks like. And there was one gentleman that was older, he lived quite ways away, and wanted to know about where his family, you know, race was. And so a friend of mine drove out, Fred got out and took pictures of the property that, you know, his family would have lived at. The trees, the boat, took pictures, and then we sent them to him, and he was so happy to just see what it looked like for his, you know, where his family lived. And that's what, those want to come back because they just want to come back and see what where people started. And I was also wondering about donations too. I think on some of these things that might be, donations.
Yeah.
I realize we can't rely solely on that, but we're pretty certain that it will happen. And I think this is so exciting. I hope this comes to fruition, that we can, you guys can get through this. I think it'd be exciting to make the parish.
One of the things I would obviously need to do is rework this budget a bit, because I think the Historical Society is looking at a little few more costs. And the other thing I think that we would need to know is, at the end of the trial period, is there a sale, or is it a donation, or is it a one, like a contract, or like, how does that work?
You don't have to talk about it.
Yes.
I think for the most part, they were ready to do this. They just wanted more facts. Because most of them, I think it's a pretty darn good idea. And I realize that people age 40 and under are not too keen on this.
Right, I think that's a good idea.
I think
it's a good deal. Katie, you've been quiet. Do you have any thoughts or ideas to share?
No, I think it's good that everyone's looking at the budget really carefully and trying to get a as much possible realistic handle on what the money will look like for the Historical Society, because it's going to be different than how you've been, you know, operating till now. And I think it's good working through the MOU too and clarifying some of the roles and who does what. I guess, you know, one thought I've had is, you know, and you kind of were touching on it a little bit there just now, like, what does it look like at the end of a trial period? Is it, does it have to, could it just, could it be a donation, or is it a sale, or is it just, it's working out really well as the, with the village holding the property and the Historical Society covering the operating expenses and the town pitching in, and maybe that would be another potential option for continuing into the future. I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can skin it. I think everyone wants to make sure the costs are being reasonable and are spread out in an even-handed sort of way amongst those who are receiving the benefits of a better, you know, more expanded Historical Society. So I think it's just good that everyone's talking, and let's keep an open mind about how it looks, and, you know, going forward. That's, I guess, all I got to say, if that makes any sense.
That's a great way to summarize it. And I don't want to say end the discussion, because if there's questions or more I need to discuss, I think we should get about now. If there's anything else.
As far as the town goes, I could even possibly see if the board would like to raise the amount that we're going to donate to this. And I don't want to say donate, because that wasn't the right word. But yeah, that we're charging the taxpayers for. And so that's open. If, you know, if these guys were going to close because they didn't have, you know, $500 extra a month or a year, then, you know, that's where the town could possibly increase. It's just so hard the first year for us to try to fund this, but then it becomes easier because now that number's there forever.
And you
know?
Have a base, yeah.
So if you were even to, you know, the town would put in a little bit more and see if I can get the board to go for that, I would appreciate if the village would continue spending a little bit of money as well towards this, you know? I mean, we're not talking, because they already own the building. $60,000 is already gone. Even if we put in, you know, X amount of dollars each to try to get this going, it would be well worth the village, you know, a little bit, you know, because right now your costs for the village are higher than the town's, but you guys own the building, so you would eventually just take the building back if it doesn't fail, and you guys have already invested in it, so it's sitting there. So you have to invest and maintain what you have. And you're only still looking at, for the village, owning the property for their first year is still maybe right around $5,000. And spread out amongst the taxpayers, it's not a lot. And that's why I think, you know, possibly the town could up their ante a little bit and help as well if it's, you know, if something that is definitely going to help, you know. I have to have my budget done this week, so
You want a number? What number are you comfortable putting in there? for this year.
I could comfortably, you know, I mean, I have to buy a desk, a comfortable chair, some shelves. So there's probably $1,500 at least somewhere in there for, you know, desks are now are outrageous. You know, yes, not just a simple one like this. We'll get her something that's suitable for an office. So we're still talking $1,500 there. I mean, yearly, I could put into my budget. I'm probably not even supposed to be saying this out loud. $2,500.
Again,
and I'll see what my board wants to do with $2,500. You know, that's $1,000 more than you guys expected. So this may help you guys a little bit more in realizing your goals.
So you don't have an avenue to directly financially help support the Historical Society? That's what I'm
one vote out of five.
Okay.
So anything,
so like,
right. And so what I put in my tentative budget is just that tentative.
Okay.
Then the board goes back and looks and says, we don't believe in that. And the majority rules, you know, they may not believe in, you know, anything that I can't control. So then we go through the budget line by line and we determine where to spend the tax.
Can the town financially support the Historical Society?
Yeah. I mean,
yes.
Okay. I think we can, like I said, I think we can do it. I can put it into my budget. My problem this year, and I don't want to say it's a problem, but I'm trying very, very hard in my tentative budget to come up with a zero. No increase at all. That is my goal, is to bring a zero to the people. How I get there, you know, all of a sudden I got an extra $10,000, that's not going to, it's going to hurt my budget. And I know just by looking at my numbers over the last month, that I'm going to be pretty close at getting zero, you know, so I can add, you know, a little bit here, take away a little bit more from here. And that's why I believe that I'm hopeful that I can get the town board to approve, you know,
at least something. Yes.
So it doesn't go out to the town residents then for a vote. It just has to be approved.
Well, it will eventually. The tentative budget comes out.
Okay.
The board accepts the tentative budget. We work on it. It becomes our preliminary budget.
Right.
Okay. And then our preliminary budget, there's always a public hearing after that.
Okay.
So we take advice from the residents at this public hearing. Nobody shows up. It pretty much just goes into the final budget.
Right.
Now, however, if there's 20 million people that come out and they're opposed to this and they don't want to pay an extra quarter a piece is probably what the $2,500 will end up being. I'm just talking numbers out, and I probably shouldn't be doing that, but that's realistically, you know, it may only be a very small amount per taxpayer to fund this. But in the overall picture, like I said, I'm trying for zeros this year.
Right. The only reason I brought that up is I did the petitions out in the town. I wasn't connected to the village petitions. And I want to tell you, there were two people I went to, I think it was 18 or 19 residents. There were two people who were in favor of the Historical Society taking over the bank. The first question out of their mouth is, if it's going to cost me money, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to have my taxes raised. I don't want to do it. That was the only reason I asked that question, so it would definitely go out.
And that's why, if I can get it in there and still remain at zero, the people will be happy.
Yeah.
You will be happy. Everybody will be happy. Can I do that?
Yeah.
We'll find out here in the next couple of days.
That's for sure.
But like I said, even if I come in with zeros,
right,
it doesn't mean my board will go higher.
Right.
So it's always majority rules, and it's on every line.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, if I can get zeros, that will be a good thing. We're going to try to, you know, take care of some people and still take care of things we haven't done in the town in a while. So,
Jim, that was a really good explanation. And I think the question was, is there a public vote on the budget? No, there's not a public vote on the budget, but there's a public hearing, and which is what exactly what you said, Jim. So the board votes on the budget, the public has the opportunity to weigh in at the hearing.
Correct.
I have one more, if I may.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little hodgy, but go back to bullet 9 on the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading it wrong, it's not on terribly confused. What I'm reading is the village, even though they say that we're going to get the building, the village would own the building for a year, giving us the opportunity to historical society for a year to see if indeed we could do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we would not be taking over the building this year, that we would be in this negotiation and for a year. So then we're not talking about how much it would cost to get our name on the deed, what the closing costs would be. So all we really need would be the attorney to do the contractual thing with the village to make it legal, so that at the end of the year, if we proved we could not do it financially, then the plan would already be in place what to do with the building. Is that, have I got that straight?
I think so. And I think what I'm hearing then is, when we talk about this budget,
yeah,
we do it for year one. And
yeah,
you can include the village's costs over here because it will still be there. And then
yeah,
do a budget for year two.
Yeah.
Sort of shifting those, right? If okay.
I'm just confused about one thing first. Mm-hmm. It sounds like financially the Historical Society is going to be completely responsible for just about everything. Period. Yeah, this is a trial. And who's determining the validity of this at the end of the trial? Like, who has
this point?
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm nervous that we put out a whole lot of our money trying to pay all these bills and get up and running and outfit this and suit everybody's, you know, wants and needs. Where are we really at the end of the year? Because it doesn't guarantee us anything.
Yeah. I think if I understand
this, to lose a lot.
If I understand this, basically what this is a budget representing the Historical Society paying the operating expenses for the building for the year. That doesn't really reflect the entire cost of operating the building. One thing, when you have a building like this, you will have recurring major capital expenses. You may need to do foundation work. You may need to put a new roof on the place. You may need a new furnace or water heater or something like that.
Does the village agree to those things?
Well, what I'm saying is what you're paying is not actually the cost of occupying that space. If you're not paying part of those costs of the expected capital expenses that will come up, the way municipalities sometimes do that is they put aside money every year towards a capital fund, where when they have something major that comes along, they have some money saved up, so they're not taking it all in the same tax year. But I guess what I'm saying is from the standpoint of the Historical Society, I don't think the Historical Society is being asked to do any more than just cover the bare operating expenses it would cost for you to occupy and use this space. It doesn't really cover the entire cost. And if you were to own the building down the road, you would expect probably a significant increase in your budget above this operating expense budget, because you would then be picking up those capital expenses either on a one-shot basis where you have to finance it, or by putting money aside so you have a capital fund to fund the things that you know you're going to need. Everybody who has a house knows if you need a new roof.
The question about that, though, is that it's kind of falling in a gray area, because I'm not sure I'm getting the vibe from Jackie that they will be covering those things.
Well, I think somebody's going to have to. And if the village is owning it, then any costs that come up are costs that they're going to have to bear until some other arrangement comes up. Because right now, I don't think the memo of understanding has any provision for you to pick up additional expenses as may occur.
So it's operating costs.
So
actually,
basically, it's the operating
costs. During this time, we may find that there's something available that might help us too.
Yes.
And we also may find that we may not have to spend. I mean, looking at some of these things, we won't have to spend as much as we
exactly
go on. So it'll give us a real chance to hit reality.
That's what a year's expense
our
does.
Out there that we have to do I've been looking into several of them, and I talked to the gentleman down in Mr. Carver. I was going to bring it with me, but I forgot that. About the opportunities there, yeah. And there was another group that he referred me to, but some of these things, we have to, one of them said that, one of them said you had to have somebody that had a degree in history working with you, and I have a college degree in history, but it's pretty old, it's 1961, when it comes to history, that's a man. It's all part of history, but we'll have time to do this. It's just that there's certain things you have to have in place to, and he gave me some examples of different places that have applied for these funding. The bank is on a list they have in Albany, in the Department of Historic Preservation. The bank is one of the buildings in Paris. It's on. I had gone for a historic neighborhood. That's what originally, when I visited with a gentleman who was there before, who's now, he retired, but he's still a historian for the city of Albany. He thought that the historic, region or the historic
district,
would be the way to go. Mm-hmm. But since I talked with him, we've had fires. We've lost a lot of our, what you call Main Street. Mm-hmm. We've had some, some sad things happen. And so he said that would not go. We would not fall under that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the amazing Petrie properties were still under. The only one we have now in the town of Paris is the cemetery. I went through the application. Letter referring recommending them for this thing just myself, but I didn't remember writing it until I looked at it. It's quite a nice letter, I wrote. But we do have some really nice homes here. I think this could be done too. If we had a place where we could put the things out, the problem has been through the years that somebody has something at their house. I have a whole file that I pull out under my coffee table with my portable file.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a file cabinet. Well, Jim just finally, I think, got the last of my file cabinets out of his office. And then I have them on the balcony with the Christmas tree decorations. And that's not easy. And I can't go up the stairs anymore, and I didn't do well before because those stairs are good. I don't care if you're 20 years old, those are tough stairs to go up. The railings are too far apart. And we really haven't had the advantage of having a place where we could all come together. Nancy does a lot. I could be here. And then I could say, well, if you look in that file cabinet, I remember that I've got, those people are there, and then there's something over here, and you can actually go get it. We could get it out, and we could put the three folders on the table, and we could work on it, and Kim could come down and bring something that she has. What keeps us going is that Kim puts every night, she puts a picture on it, and people respond to it, guess where it's from. And we have gathered a lot of information from people that have responded to what she puts on. We put a lot of heart to seeing things. Period of time and see how it works. I mean, I think we'd save money. I really this year we even got money in the budget for paper. And I had to ask him, I had to call him the other day I wanted to put some postcards in there. And he said, no, the town doesn't want to buy postcards. They can't own postcards. You can, but you can roll them. I think if we get that trial period, maybe a cheaper operation in the end.
You'd learn a lot in that year.
Nancy hit it on the head. If the village could give it one more year, with assuming the ownership and assuming all the things Paul was talking about it, the capital costs, and if it could continue for one more year, and then you put together two budgets. Here's the trial period year where the village is as it is, and then the second year, here's what it looks like. You'll have a better idea of where you stand. We can estimate it, and we can certainly all be. I can provide you with two budgets, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? And one for year zero, and one for year, or one for year one, one for year two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And that's where the village will also save, with the town check going to the village, technically,
mm-hmm.
For rent, and then they would take their costs down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the village, you know, would be a little. It'll be easier for them to swallow,
mm-hmm.
you know, like $3,500 a year, $3,000 a year, whatever it may be, to be spread out.
I don't know if this really is probably not helpful, but it's just, I guess, for FYI. I did an income and expense from 2021, which is really useless because it was still in the COVID mess. But for that year, we took in $220, and our expenses were $180.31. So basically, for that year, we realized $31.69. However, in 2022, we were a lot more active, and we actually, our income was $1,732.50. However, $1,000 of that is mentioned in the Historical Society annual review. That was the donation for a couple who had lived in Parrish for ever, and I believe it was their children, Carl and Jean Wood. I believe it was their children who made the $1,000 donation. I'd be willing to bet we ain't going to see that ever again. So, deducting $1,000 for that year, we made $732.50 and $210 expenses. And again, it wasn't exactly clear where the $732 came from. You know, it was calendars and sales of the books and all the stuff, the raffles and that kind of thing. If there was another donation in there, I don't know. It wasn't documented. And then for 2023, up until yesterday, our income was $667.50, and we actually only spent $110 this year, and $70 of that was for the post office box. So this year, so far to date, we've realized $556.83. Now, the good thing is we have CDs, and for our interest that we earned from our CDs in 2022 was $19.32. So at our last meeting, we decided we had Mr. Decker, who's told me he was a broker and he works for a wealth management company. And he gave us, those of us who were at the meeting, he gave us suggestions. He cannot help us, but he told us to go to local banks, local credit unions, see who could give us two things. One, the best interest, and two, help with small business advice. So I was away all last week. Evelyn and I are the two signatures on this checking account for the Historical Society. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to see where we can get the best deals, bring it back, and have a membership program. But that's just kind of enough for me. I guess that had nothing to do with anything like that.
So I have some questions, because my main concern is not about the next year. The Historic Society has some resources and savings, and by then we'll have a budget for getting through a year or two. But I'm concerned about 3 or 4 or 10 years down the road if they assume ownership of the building. And I don't think we have the fundraising resources in place to be able to sustain that. We're not even talking about like building repairs, but able to sustain the annual expenses for the building for several years down the road. And we don't really have resources to go out and apply for the type of grants that we would need. So is that something that Tug Hill could help with the Tug Hill Commission? And what could you do, or what would you advise us that we'd be doing looking down the road, not just for the next 12 or 24 months, but
right. So one of the things we talked about last time was like a real simple building conditions report that sort of gives you a snapshot in time of the with the idea in mind, keeping in mind the historic structure and what it looks like and what it would take to maintain it or fix it if there's anything wrong. And that's a small grant. That's like a $4,000 cost share, I believe, Katie. From there, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yes, a building conditions report, we could probably do it for a fairly small amount of money, and that would give you a better sense of, you know, anything underlying, especially with historical elements. Mm-hmm. And then I think to Janet's other question, like, we could definitely help you write grants as they are identified to support things. A lot of times, I think the grants are more a project based. Like, let's say you have some collection that you want to have somebody come in and assess and get the right way it's stored and displayed. You know, those kind of things are grantable. The operating expenses, people don't usually want to pay for that with grants. So I do think you make a good point. I think that's Janet. Hi, Janet. I think that's what the first year or two are going to be critical for the Historical Society, because now that you'll have a storefront and you'll have all your things in one place where people can come in and appreciate them and maybe get interested, and you're going to have to do fundraisers. You know, it's going to be a lot of work, but that's going to be your window of time, I think, to see how you can ramp up those numbers that the other lady was just going over. You know, you had tiny amounts of income and they're slowly growing, but having a space and having your stuff available, it's a really great opportunity. And I think that's where you're going to have to try to drum up, you know, those memberships, the donations to cover those operating expenses. Maybe some money would come from grants for some of that, but it'd be tough. So I think you make some good points, Janet. That all the more reason to bite off one, take one bite at a time at this, not get in over your head from the beginning. And then you kind of put the whole, you know, the whole effort kind of goes down.
Right. From
is
my experience,
fundraising side something you could help with?
Yes. Not necessarily fundraising. We could, I mean, we could come in and do just some strategic planning with you.
Okay.
You know, share some thoughts and lessons learned from other things
like that. I
think
that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, this is putting us in new territory.
Yeah. We can basically come and help you gather what's working great and what's not working great, where you have opportunities to improve. We can try to help you get those things on paper, right? And then there are things that do come through the CFA, but they're, like Katie's saying, they're not for a roof or for structural. They're more for programming.
Anything that I've been doing some help with another organization as a volunteer writing grants while applying for them. Most of them, yeah, they've been successful receiving everything they applied for. But there aren't sources out there that are going to get money for operating expenses or salaries or even building improvements are pretty questionable. I think that we have to be aware that we have to have other sources and be looking for outside assistance besides a grant here and there. Just to be realistic.
Jeff?
Is there a window?
Katie just dropped out of the session.
Oh.
She didn't go on, but she has another Zoom
call. Oh, okay, that's right. She's got a But yeah, there's some things we can do.
We may get some more donations. I know we can't do a budget on donations, but I think when people come in, sometimes you do something. So we have gotten donations from people that have gotten information from us.
And I think that's where having more visibility would help you. Yeah, you get more donations that way.
Yes, that's what I think. More interest. I think the interest is out there.
We could open it up to the public with guest speakers and movie nights and kids and play a great movie or something,
Yeah.
Get people in there pay attention to play,
watch it. We have a lot of information back from her pictures that she puts on. And someone will ask a question, and then maybe four or five people will respond. On there, and they're all interested.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an interesting one, John Antosky, who used to live here. The Antoskys had a farm, was in Albany, was a school administrator in the Albany area. And he took his family to a park down there. And when he was going over a small bridge over a stream, he said it came from Parrish, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Bridge, so he wrote that and wanted to know where this bridge came from. And it was interesting because I was able to call Carol Kinney, put down the highway, the bridge is pretty trapped, and where the they were going to use some of the listeners, a certain weight bridge, and then each time I talked to her two or three times, we saw this little facts, about the bridge. And that was really very interesting. I mean, it's just kind of an example of if you're getting information out there, how it catches on and builds. And so it was the Mill Street Bridge by the dam over there. That was a particular bridge that had been taken. But Harold knew all the bridges that had been, right away. He really is a problem of information. And, maybe we can record some memories and do some things. We stop by and get some more things going. That will help too, I think.
So, yeah, if there's a need in the future for the Historical Society, certainly. Put us in your toolbox, people to call on if you need help. So to wrap, kept you an hour and a half almost. So I want to try to summarize what we talked about today. We're going to talk to Laird or look into more how this MOU works and if the rent check goes to the village, right? I think that's how it's going to work, but we'll double check that. We'll look into how the 501c3, what that protects for the Historical Society in the future. That'll affect your budget, if that affects property taxes and that kind of thing. And of course, that has implications for the village. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask the village to maintain their ownership for at least the first year. Provide two budgets. Okay. We're gonna make your contributions to 2,500 with a question mark. Hopefully your board will go through with that.
If it goes zero, then
and I think we need to like Janet. Well, yeah, like Janet says, who determines the validity of this after a year? How do we evaluate this after 1 year? That's gonna be part of the MOU. And I get it all. What I want to do.
Sound good?
Yeah. Very good.
Let's circle back maybe. Let's see, we're going to get to October, and October's a busy, busy month. What if we got to November to try to do this again? This time it seemed to work for everybody, 1 o'clock here. I think the Thanksgiving, the 23rd. I think they have something already. That's Tuesday, November 14th.
What tentatively is the or is this starting to take place? Are we looking at January next year, or is there a fiscal year, or is there a calendar year?
What's the end? When ideally would the agreement go into effect? January?
Tomorrow?
Sorry. No, because we've got to meet right with the lawyer. I don't even think the town lawyer is. Sorry? Is the town lawyer?
The village.
Okay, but
we have to have a village lawyer, not the town.
You would have to have the village lawyer. Because he couldn't represent the organization.
Okay, all right.
So that was why I wondered, would the town put the town lawyer, or do we have to hire a lawyer? Because we definitely need somebody.
The town lawyer's got to represent us.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Yep.
Okay, folks, so there we go.
We need a lawyer.
We need a lawyer.
Do you have any lawyers in your membership?
No.
No.
So there's another,
Okay, so we'll have to scout up a lawyer. There's a lawyer in Rider. There used to be one up on Maureen Gold.
She just does Maureen, like family court.
Yeah, she's a family court. Okay. I'm glad you knew that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, that's not for us to discuss here. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Okay.
Well, we're still up in the air. He's right. When do we need to go? My only concern is the later the year it gets,
right,
the chancier the weather and the issues to get set up and get open and get interested. So how do we resolve this?
Were you considering opening up in
In the winter?
You know, my concern is if it's going to cost a lot to own this and operate this, we should be open. That's going to be our best opportunity to get those donations and get that interest and grow ourselves. If we're closed,
right,
they're going to see us as a nothing.
But if nobody is willing or if nobody's able to work during the bad weather, then we're still much further ahead.
Yeah, but I don't know what you mean by work for.
Okay, I've heard amongst our members that we do not want to be open in
November. I don't think most of our members are going to agree to do anything much anymore.
Okay, so then if it's most of our members, who's going to do it?
That's a good question.
Uh-oh. Sounds like an internal discussion.
Yeah, internal question.
Yeah. An internal question.
Yeah,
I can always get here on foot.
Here.
So I don't know.
Or horseback.
Well,
they let us sit. That's what I mean. Yeah, we got to figure this out.
Fred could come over.
Well, I would say if we're going to take ownership of the building or at least have a presence here instead of displays and things like that, we want to figure out what we want to do and how long that's going to take until we think it's ready for visitors.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to see us take possession of the money.
Right.
And we're not open for 6 months.
Well, a lot of museums around here stay closed, like have winter hours and then
right,
and
winter
times.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, that might be something.
It'll take us a while to get the stuff moved here because we have these fire panels that are very heavy. And I just thought I have a cupboard in the public library, and I also have a slide. They tried to get rid of it when they started their addition, but they haven't gotten money from the finish on the back to get that stuff out, our stuff out of the library. So we had stuff all over. So we have two more pieces of equipment.
But I mean, if
you've got to get, you have to use the town for someone that's strong.
Yes, they are.
The last time I moved one out, actually, that's why I moved them out of my home. I never tried for any use in my home, but for years they were in my back room. But when my son came, he thought the floor was starting to sag back there. And he said, "Mom, you know, you really got to do something. You can't do this. You're going to drop down, you know, and this is not good." And so, but I remember Bob Kiltz was alive then. And I think our son was very young. Bob, he's one of my, I like Bob Kiltz and in the school. And he came in the town guys came, and it's not easy to live in those.
No.
And
I moved him out the balcony, and that was fun enough.
Yeah. No, I surprised the balcony. That's going to take a period of time. That's where I brought that up.
How about we try for a month? How about I get my budget fixed and back out to you? We try to do this on October 24th.
I have one question. Should we start bringing in?
I think we should.
Should we start bringing in?
Well, you have the insurance, right? Yeah. But you don't have content insurance. So does that, if you brought things here and something happened?
Well, I called you. Cynthia answered. So that first year you would want that tenants policy.
Yes. So does that mean then, do we not have to have a fire inspection and a...
Oh, we'll have to come down and take a look at it.
And building inspector?
I'll ask them.
Just have to have a CFO to open up a museum.
Okay.
Will could handle that, our town code enforcement officer.
Right. Okay.
I don't think the building would have to be changed as far as zoning.
And we talked about... I can't remember what Will told me about that floor, and I'm just a little bit nervous about that. You know, I'm all about safety.
That's kind of you could put a desk there in the corner, or something. You could put something.
It's
a whole line.
The thing is, it can't be wheelchair accessible for someone with a walker if they get their, or just someone unsteady gated.
Right.
But there's, you know, like this much.
Yeah.
Safety gate in the back. That's probably what? $35 to get a gate and have somebody with a screwdriver.
When you run it through the state, you look at October 24th.
Yes,
child,
we talked about that.
I had my children are not well behaved sometimes. And, you know, I just, my fear would be that somebody be monkeying around and it's, we have to do something there and just kind of secure it after.
But that is something we need to address.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Well, they're so fast. I can't even address that.
We married that or door that off.
All right, Laura, what are we
trying? I'm going to get y'all something within the next couple of days to review, and then we'll try to do this in a month.
Okay. Well, I won't be here, but you know, I need to be here. Yeah, it makes a big difference.
All right, so we've got to find.
So, what's happening in the month exactly?
We'll do this again. You're gonna have, I think what I heard you say is the board wasn't gonna go for any more costs, but now we're saying they're gonna have to go for the cost.
Yeah, so talk to what
when your board meeting?
On the third Wednesday.
So this will be, that'll, okay. So you'll have time, I'll try to,
right,
we'll get
okay
stuff to you before the third Wednesday.
Okay.
And you're the same thing.
Same,
well,
depends. Thursday. It will be.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
So your meeting is October 18th.
Jim, is there anything else you need from us for your budget?
Not to my knowledge, especially because it's my tentative budget. If the board has similar, you know, any questions during the process, I can always come back.
Okay.
Get a hold of Bridget or Evelyn.
So right now you're still in preliminary stages anyway.
Correct. Okay. The tentative budget is just mine. It could be full of all kinds of good things or all kinds of bad things. So.
And then the town has budget workshops on the Thursdays in October.
Yes.
Except for the third Thursday, which is the town board meeting. So
I can come lobby for more money.
I don't know if that would help or hurt you.
Yeah, really.
Probably.
Do you want more money is the question? Everybody always wants more money.
Everybody
wants
money.
I thought I just gave you more, so I thought you'd be happy.
No, we are.
All right.
Sorry, that was really good.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. If I wanted to move, I probably would have moved it.
Fair enough. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Yes, they were delicious. Yeah.